Louis Pasteur did not enter the world as the obvious hero of a scientific revolution. He was not born into wealth, fame, or intellectual privilege. His first surroundings were modest, practical, and deeply provincial. The France into which he was born was still carrying the emotional and political weight of the Napoleonic era, and the country was trying to define itself after years of empire, war, restoration, and social change. In that uncertain world, on December 27, 1822, Louis Pasteur was born in Dole, a town in eastern France, in the Jura region. His father, Jean-Joseph Pasteur, worked as a tanner, a demanding trade that required patience, strength, and daily contact with the raw materials of life and death. Animal hides, water, chemicals, labor, smell, and endurance. Pasteur's family was not destitute, but it was far from elite. He grew up in a household where work mattered, discipline mattered, and respectability had to be earned rather than inherited. That beginning is important because the later image of Pasteur can easily become too polished. History often remembers him as the great man in the laboratory, the defender of germ theory, the savior of wine, beer, silkworms, cattle, and eventually human beings threatened by rabies. Yet before all that, he was a boy from a provincial family, raised among people who understood labor more than theory. The distance between the tanner's workshop and the laboratories of Paris was not merely geographical. It was social, cultural, and intellectual. Pasteur's life would become a journey from the small world of local France to the center of international science, but the values of his childhood never disappeared from him completely. His seriousness, patriotism, stubbornness, and hunger for recognition were all shaped, in one way or another, by the modest world from which he came. The France of Pasteur's childhood was a country of villages, small towns, artisans, farmers, priests, soldiers, merchants, and teachers. Paris was the capital of politics and culture, but much of the nation still lived according to older rhythms. In the provinces, people were close to the land, close to family reputation, and close to the memory of recent wars. The French Revolution had shaken the old order. Napoleon Bonaparte had carried French power across Europe, and then his empire had collapsed. By the time Pasteur was born, France was under the Bourbon Restoration, a period that tried to bring monarchy back while still living in the shadow of revolutionary change. This meant that the world around Pasteur was not static. It was full of tension between tradition and modernity, between religion and reason, between monarchy and republican ideals, between rural habits and the rising power of science, industry, and centralized education. Pasteur's father embodied part of that historical tension. Jean-Joseph Pasteur had served in Napoleon's army and had reportedly been decorated for bravery. After military life, he returned to civilian labor and supported his family through tanning. This combination of soldierly memory and artisan discipline had a lasting influence on his son. In later life, Louis Pasteur would often appear almost military in his dedication to work and national service. He admired order, perseverance, sacrifice, and duty. These were not abstract virtues for him. They were values that had been lived in his household. His father's past connected the family to the epic drama of France, while his daily trade reminded young Louis that greatness, if it came at all, would have to be built through effort. The tanning trade itself deserves attention because it belonged to a world far removed from the clean, controlled image of the modern laboratory. Tanning was physical, repetitive, and unpleasant. It involved transforming animal skins into usable leather through soaking, scraping, treating, and drying. The smell could be intense, the work exhausting, and the social status modest. Yet tanning also required practical knowledge. The tanner had to understand materials, timing, texture, moisture, and chemical changes, even if he did not describe them in scientific language.